time, we can trust in God to comfort us and to hear our prayer. And when we think we have no friends, like the hymn says, we have a friend in Jesus. A friend, indeed, who will never leave us. Do we want to find happiness in life? Well, don't spend our life chasing bubbles. Look to God. Follow Jesus as the source of true happiness. And if we follow Jesus, then we'll truly be like the words in the hymn that we're now going to sing and have joy in our hearts as we praise him. Let's sing the second hymn on the sheet, Give Me Oil in My Lamp, and the tune will fit the words this time. Our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Psalms, from the familiar Psalm 100. Sing to the Lord, all the world. Worship the Lord with joy. Come before him with happy songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we belong to him. We are his people, We are his flock. Enter the temple gates with thanksgiving. Go into its courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him. The Lord is good. His love is eternal, and his faithfulness lasts forever. Then in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 15, and at verse 5, we read, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Whoever does not remain in me is thrown out like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire where they are burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish and you shall have it. My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And then very briefly in the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10 and at verse 22, we read, So let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, with hearts that have been purified from a guilty conscience and with bodies washed with clean water. Let us hold on firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promise. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. We sing the third hymn on the sheet, To God Be the Glory.
Oh,
People bring all kinds of things to church. Some of you will have brought your sweeties and be possibly ready at this point in time to slip one into your mouth for this part of the service. I know that Dorothy will have her polar mint in her throat or in her mouth by this time. Way back in the early 80s, when I was head teacher in Fairley Primary School, I had arrived just before the summer holidays. And I well remember the very first church service that we held in Fairley Church. Because I was the new headie, I was doing a welcome. And of course, the prize giving was going to be at the end of the service. But next thing, about the front two rows of the church, some mothers with their preschool children proceeded to get out and open the packet of biscuits, put straws in wee cartons of juice, open up the Tupperware boxes with the sandwiches, and proceeded to pass them along the rows. I am grateful that they did realise that at that particular time I couldn't partake of a hobnob and they would maybe need to wait a wee while later. We do say that we want people to be relaxed coming to church. Well, those mothers way back then certainly were relaxed. You'll see from the order of service that I've called this talk How We Should Come to Church. That's not my bad grammar. I don't mean why we should come to church. I do mean how we should come to church. And our Old Testament reading, Psalm 100, tells us exactly what everyone ought to bring when they come to church. It tells us exactly how we should come to worship. It tells us, if you like, the pathway into God's presence. It almost sets out a protocol for coming into his presence. Just as people going to meet the Queen are given instructions for approaching her, so Psalm 100 gives us and sets out for us how we should enter God's presence. It begins by telling us to worship the Lord with joy. Here in Livingston, we tend to have what can only be described as a traditional or a formal form of worship, while other churches may have forms that allow worshippers to show and express their joy a bit more and a bit more demonstratively. Nevertheless, that still shouldn't prevent us from worshipping here in our traditional service with joy. Early on in Psalm 100, it encourages us to come before him with happy songs. Music is often the form through which we express our gladness, our joy, and our praise. You just need to look and listen to a crowd at a football match to realise that. And throughout history, music has played an essential part of worship. Some of us, again, can sometimes believe that our traditional worship lacks the oomph, the uplifting spirit of others' worship. But the danger is that in many churches and for many individuals, instead of worshipping God, they're worshipping the music. Music is not worship. Again, it's part of this protocol that prepares the heart and sets the stage for our meeting together with God. The most crucial factor in worship in the church is not the form of worship, but the state of the heart of the worshippers. Psalm 100 goes on to tell us to never forget that the Lord is God. We should acknowledge him as such. If we go back to a royal analogy where individuals bow or curtsy in acknowledgement of being in the royal presence, so we should acknowledge that we are in our Creator's presence. Doing this is a precursor to praise. Praise, however, itself is not worship. It sets the stage for worship. Well, at least so says a gospel writer called David Edwards in a book called Worship 365. He goes on to say, when we praise God, we are ringing the doorbell, making our presence known, letting him know that we have come to see him. When he hears our praise, he gets us to open the door and invites us to come in. When we go inside, we move from praise to worship. In other words, praise is the vehicle into God's presence, and worship is what we do once we are in his presence. We should therefore come before God with thanksgiving and praise on our lips and in our hearts. In verse 4 of the psalm, it tells us twice to give thanks and praise to God. Not once, twice. It says, give thanks and praise to God. No doubt repeated, so that we will not miss the importance of thanks and praise. Praise him, the psalm says. Did you know that the word praise means to kneel? I didn't until this week, I've got to confess, until I was doing some reading for this talk. The word praise, therefore, when we read it in Scripture, gives the idea that to show honour and homage to God, it's by kneeling before him, as Handel's Messiah says, to recognise him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. True worship involves physically or metaphorically falling at the feet of God. That's why some churches kneel to pray, or indeed why a popular image is the child kneeling by the side of the bed in prayer. In a book called Touch and Live that I dipped into this past week, the author George Vandeman tells the story of a young man making his first climb in the Alps, accompanied by two very experienced guides. It was a very steep and a very hazardous ascent, but this young man felt secure because he had one guide ahead of him and one following. And for hours they climbed. Then, breathless, they reached the rocks that led to the summit. The guide leading was very anxious that the young man have the first glorious view that they would see at the top. He wanted him to see, as he described it, heaven and earth. The guide moved aside to let the young man go first. Forgetting the gales that would blow across the summit, the young man leapt to his feet, but the guide following him dragged him down, shouting, "On your knees, sir, on your knees. You are never safe here, except on your knees." We should come before God on our knees, because we are in the presence of the God who made that view, indeed the God who made the universe. The Lord is good, the psalm says. God is not fickle or forgetful. He doesn't change his purpose or break his word. We have to try as best we can to grasp the greatness of God. The essence of worship is to bless, fall down, and to give glory to God. When we do this, we have truly worshipped. Worship is not the shout or the singing or the thanksgiving or the praising. All those are preludes. Worship is our encountering a living Lord and of being in his presence. Worship is an audience, not with the Queen, but the King. Many of our hymns reflect this. O worship the King, all glorious above. Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. What a privilege we have been afforded. Let us not take it for granted. Let us come to church Sunday by Sunday, regardless of who might be leading worship, regardless of what format the worship might take, regardless to whether we have a minister or we don't have a minister, but always with joy, praise, and happiness in our hearts. Amen. We sing our next hymn, and you really will be thinking that I've taken leave of my senses, because it was only during the last hymn that I discovered that Ross has put in the source of the hymn, a hoan. It's actually Anglican hymns, old and new. It's new words, but it's a familiar tune. And I have got to say, I do feel a little nervous at this point, because I do hope that the tune fits the words. But it's our fourth hymn, Tell His Praise in Song and Story.
Thank you.
continue to worship God in our offering. Let's come before God again in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, as part of our praise and worship of you this morning, we place before you our monetary offerings. May they be used to spread your word here in our own community and further afield. Lord, as well as our material offering, we offer to you with praise and joy our lives as a living offering to work for you and your kingdom in this church and in this community. Father, when we feel we have little or nothing to offer in your service, help us to hear your words of direction or feel your gentle prod to action. Lord God, today as every day, we pray not only for ourselves, but also for others, known and unknown to us, regardless of race, religion, colour of skin, or orientation. Father, we pray for those who are ill, whether in hospital or at home, asking that for them health will be restored. We ask you to be with those who are or will be this day called into your presence, and for all who mourn their passing. Lord God, be with the hungry, the thirsty, the refugee, those who feel abandoned or alone, and help the power of human thought and ability to achieve solutions for their difficulties. Father, we need your guidance towards achieving a solution that encourages people of different faiths to live peacefully with one another, especially after the events in Nice and Turkey these last few days. We ask for your comfort to the families affected by these situations, especially those who mourn the loss of loved ones. Lord God, we pray for the community in which we live and its many and varied needs. May your Spirit work in this place. Lastly, Lord, we pray for our nation at this time of unprecedented political upheaval. We ask, O Lord, that you will work in the hearts and minds of all who shape our laws and policies, asking that confidence, peace, and prosperity might exist for everyone in our country. All these things we ask in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. We close our service singing the final hymn from CH4 805, You Shall Go Out with Joy, and we'll sing it through twice. Lord God, as we leave this time of worship, we ask for a troubled world, peace from Christ, for a searching world, love from Christ, for a waiting world, hope from Christ. And may God give to us and those whom we love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy today and every day.